That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. And it is us, your two favorite hosts. I am Kelsey.
And I'm Carmen, and I sound like poopy buttholes, but it is a beautiful day to podcast. Actually, it is quite nice over here. It's not super
You don't
hot.
Sound terrible. You just sound slightly congested, but you do feel terrible. And for that, I apologize.
That's okay. You know what? The listeners, this is for you guys. We do it. We sacrifice our bodies just like any other athlete.
So true.
Day in and day out. We do it for you guys, the listeners. And I've definitely got some shout outs. I don't know if you got any shout outs.
I do have some. I was also thinking because we're recording like several podcasts in a row this week because we're trying to plan ahead for when Carmen is out of the country next month.
Fleeing the law.
And I was like, so today we'll have all these shout outs and then probably the next two episodes we'll have like no shout outs. And then if anyone joins the Patreon like between now and like mid-July, they're going to be waiting almost a full month before they hear a shout out. So
yeah,
we will get to you. It is just the schedule of what we are doing is more erratic than how we normally do it.
Yeah, they'll be thinking, wow, this podcast really popped off. And then everyone said, we're going to cancel you for 2 weeks. And we said, please don't.
We have a shout out for a new Patreon member, Maddie.
Shout out. Maybe remember a couple maybe months ago when I said that there was an Instagram conversation I was having. It was with a girl named Maddie, and she filmed Buffalo in the snow.
Yeah.
This is Maddie. That's her.
Oh, hello, Maddie.
Yeah. Some great art.
I don't think Maddie, I sent her over the link to Discord, but I don't think she has been on there yet. So, Maddie, if you haven't by the time you hear this, please join us on our Discord. And anyone else interested, please hit up the Patreon, and we'll get you on our Discord.
Yes,
the carbon-free Discord page has been popping off as of late. I will let you know. We've been chit-chatting about many plot lines that you cannot be yet privy to.
Yeah, and that's fair. I feel like this episode is going to be kind of the gateway to some maybe wild stuff. Feels like a slow burn starting to happen in Shondaland, right inside our hearts and our pants. I'm very excited for that. I also have, so I want to shout out. First is a new follower named Anne Marie, and Anne Marie is listening to us from the Netherlands. So Anne Marie from the Netherlands, thank you. Thank you so much. The Netherlands, just the best people. The New Zealand folks and the Netherlands folks, there's so many. I couldn't be more far apart from each other. My geography is not that bad,
You're
guys.
Crushing I'm not saying.
love it. By this time, we'll have had a 10 a.m. Central Time Zoom call. So hopefully our New Zealand, UK-based Patreon patrons are able to join. Let's see. There's another one. I want to shout out Omira. She's always good for a Denny Duquette meme.
Yeah.
So love that. Allison is part of our Patreon, but having some hard time getting into the Discord. So I sent you the link. Hopefully by the time this airs, you will have that. And Angie, when she was listening to the episode where Owen said he wanted to wash Christina's hair, and she sent me an episode a message saying, listening to that episode right now, and she said Owen is in his Charles Boyle era. So that made me giggle. And then Renee, I'm just going to open the last dad joke you sent me. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I saw you message, so I'm going to open it. We're going to see what happens. Why do fish always know how much they weigh? Because they have scales. Their own scales. Yes.
Oh, I got it. Oh, yes, I got it. I love to get a pun before them. Yes.
Very good. Very good. Thank you, Renee. And also just hope life is going okay for you. A lot of change happening.
I've been talking to Sarah on
shout out Sarah
Instagram, and I've shouted her out last week as well, but she was she's listening in season 6 right now. Okay. And she made a good point. The season 6 finale when the season 6 premiere after following the season 5 finale when everyone is like, that's not George. What are you talking about? Like, I can't, that's not George. Like, y'all are all stupid. And you and I were like, why would they include this scene? She said that she thinks it may have been to show that the first stage of grief is denial, because that whole episode is like them working through the stages of grief. And I was like, that's a very good point. And I think
symbolism.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And then she said another theory is to signify how George is often overlooked.
Yeah.
So they're just like, no, that can't be George.
Turns out it actually was 007 James Bond himself. So now all of the maniacal casino dwelling villains are just stealing all of the nuclear warheads in the entire world. So
and then we were talking about Derek, my, you know, favorite pastime. I was shitting on Derek. Uh-huh, and she sent me the gif of the from Parks and Rec of the daughter going, I have done nothing wrong ever in my life. Like, that's how Derek feels about himself. And I was like, this is so accurate.
That is really funny.
Oh, Derek, and she says she hates every time you say that George and Izzy have chemistry.
Well, they do. Still to this day, we see the chemistry.
She said, I simultaneously want to crawl out of my skin and vomit, which is like me. So she gets it.
I love it. This episode, Derek was giving a lot of SpongeBob doing his essay vibes, where he spends 12 hours just making the. Also, I do have one last shout out. I was looking for this one. Want to shout out Amalia from Romania. Cool. She was listening and just got so excited when I was sharing that my dental hygienist at my dentist office is from Romania. So we were having a great conversation about that. So Amalia from Romania, thank you. And she says that she loves our banter and Diablo 4. So we had a great conversation around
Diablo.
Oh,
wow. You do love Diablo.
Yeah. And then let's see. Carla had told me, I had posted a screenshot, but she told me that I needed to listen to there's a Pride Appropriate version of a song called Jolene, but it's gay on Spotify. So that's on my list right now that I need to listen to.
That sounds incredible.
That's all I got, I think. If I missed anyone, I'm sorry.
I have Angie. I'm going to shout out Angie because we've been chatting back and forth on Insta, and she sent me a meme, and she said, she captioned it, Dear Every Man on Grays, and then this was the meme. You are not sexy and mysterious, and you are bad at communicating.
Yes.
So true.
Yeah.
She also has a song that she sings. She's not a fan of Owen Hunt, and she said she has a song that she sings. It's her theme song for the show, how we have Living in Shondaland theme song.
Yes.
She has a theme song for, and it's, Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
That's a good one.
I agree.
I might have to start doing that one. Let me see if I can get it right while sick. Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
She did send me a voice memo of her singing it, but I don't know if she wants me to play it on the podcast, but I'll play it for you.
Okay. I'll see if I can get it right next episode.
Okay. So yeah, that's it on the, Carmen.
I have one more.
That's not it.
I do want to shout out Alicia because she was a very, very sweet recipient of me saying that I did not like the music that she sent me.
Then
she doubled down and she did say, I need to get this out there for everyone. I'm going to put this into the world. ask Kelsey how often this happens on live recording, that there's actual potentially damning proof. Alicia was right and I was wrong. There you go.
Yay. I'm doing a small victory dance.
It's you're not moving. There it is. Okay. Shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
I actually do feel like I'm going to make a Spotify playlist, and I'm going to make it public, of slow songs that people can add on for you to listen to that they think are like slow songs that you should get your head out of your ass and actually enjoy music.
Okay. All right.
Not like slow songs just to torture you, but like songs that we think like these are really good. You should actually just appreciate that this is really great music and you should enjoy it. You're doing a bad job. Why are you eating gummy worms when you're sick?
It's all I want right now is sugar. I had orange juice. Or as the Germans say, Orangensaft. You're welcome.
German word of the day. I don't think that's true.
Look it up. All you German listeners, listen. I am fluent.
You're not
fluent. It's so windig outside, am I right? Yeah.
Do you even know what my last name is in German?
It means believer of all things, Carmen says.
No, just say it in German. Just say my last name in German.
Werner.
Very good. I used to get so excited when I would have reservations at the Germany Pavilion restaurant in Epcot, because like the people that work there are actually from Germany. And so they would be like, Werner? I was like, yes, our family is very from Germany a long time ago. Anyways, okay, let's talk about Grey's Anatomy.
Let's do it.
This is episode 7 of the 7th season, and it is episode 132 overall, and it is called That's Me Trying, and that is a song that I am excited to hear you talk about.
Let me tell you guys, hold on, did you listen to this song?
No, I just saw who sang it, and I was like, I cannot wait to hear Carmen's opinion on this.
This
and then
is
I probably
me,
will listen to it later.
This Is Me Trying is a song by
the one and only
William Shatner. Now, let me tell you, I went at the first 3 seconds of the song of him, because it's a talk singing song. So he's not singing. He's narrating. Mm-hmm. And then the choruses, there's actually a singer band over the top. So there's music, he's talking the verses, and then there's a singing chorus. This song, 1 second into it, I want to tell you, I wanted to hate it. And then I listened to the whole thing, and it is all about a dad who's trying to reconnect with his daughter. And he left. Yeah,
that's
and
interesting.
So it's very interesting. We see a lot of
it's
parallels.
Very on mark for this episode.
Yeah, yeah. So as a father, this one actually made me a little emotional at one point, because I yearn to be someone who's estranged from his daughter. It's because of the opposite. I can't imagine a world where I'm ever estranged from Marlo. So
Right. Listen
to the song. Listen to it 2 whole times, and honestly, this song is going to be the highest rated song that will not make it to my playlist.
Oh.
Because this song gets a 5.
Oh, wow.
But it is not getting added to the playlist because it is the best worst song we've ever had on this podcast. I don't like the style of the talk singing, but it is like the message, the lyrics, and the way that it won me over in the middle of the song, honestly, was very impressive. And I had to listen to the first song off the album, had a little iTunes star next to it.
Yeah.
And it's called Common People. Let me just tell you out there, Common People is ahead of its time. It is a punk rock ballad.
By William Shatner?
It's awesome. It's all about this guy who's in a bar, and it's this rich lady, and she's like, I want to do what common people do. And he's like, okay, well, let's drink rum and coke and fuck. And it's
is he singing in that one?
No. He's just talk singing, but then there's the choruses and then the bridge. And then you know how when Hamilton does his sign off with George Washington, that Washington is singing and Hamilton is talking? They do one of those bits to end the song. And it's really good, honestly.
Interesting. Did that one make it into your iTunes?
Yes, that one did. Yes, that one did.
Wow.
And honestly, this conversation alone is actually, you know what? They're both getting in. I'm just going to go with it. This,
wow.
this, I've been convinced.
What a time to be alive.
It was good. It was really good.
I'm not doubting you. I'm just surprised. Like, I would have not imagined that any song put out by William Shatner would be enjoyed by you.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy to be wrong.
He's got a good voice, too. Talking voice, not a singing voice. But anyway, so it is... it was released in 2004. So the specific song, This Is Me Trying, didn't chart, but Common People did make it to number 22, or the album made it to 22 in the hot top heat seekers for Billboard. And Common People, the song that I was just referring to, made it to top 100, number 21 on the Triple J Hottest 100 in 2004. So not sure what that is, but it is some sort of ranking program. But the backup performances includes Joe Jackson, Amy Mann, Lemon Jelly, Henry Rollins, Andrew Belew, and Brad Paisley.
Oh, I love Brad Paisley.
So it was, honestly, I hated the song and I hated how much I loved the song. So that's both of those made really it to the iTunes library.
That's so interesting. Cool. Well, I love that journey.
You should listen to both. They're surprisingly... Also, I'm trying to lean away whenever I have to do that like disgusting snot snort. So,
yes, those are unpleasant. Okay, this episode. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot. You're going to be so excited. This episode aired.
Written by William Shatner?
No, it aired on November 4th.
Hey, birthday boy!
Well, speaking of birthdays, 19.
What day? When?
2010.
18.
19.
2010. You're right. 19. Wow. Look at that.
On your 19th birthday, Grey's Anatomy said, here's this episode, Carmen. Enjoy and it also, in 14 years.
Yeah, here's this William Shatner song we wrote for you. The writers of Grey's said to me. Also, do want to say thank you to everyone who wished me a happy Father's Day on Discord. Yeah. That was very, very sweet. Very sweet.
Okay, this was written by Austin Guzman and directed by Tony Phelan, and it aired to 11.92 million views, so up a bit from the last couple episodes.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Netflix, the synopsis is, Owen puts the residents through a rigorous trauma certification drill. Christina is left alone to monitor an ill lung transplant patient. And Hulu, let's see if they just took the first half of it. Owen puts the residents through a rigorous trauma certification drill. They did just take the first half of it.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep. So that's it.
That's fun.
Boy. You know, this episode threw me for a loop right off the bat.
Oh yeah.
The first line of the sentence says, when was the last time a complete stranger took off their clothes in front of you? And I paused and I was like, not often enough. And then the second half of the sentence was like, and showed you their ooey gooey pus filled wound. And I was like, I should have listened.
Never mind. Too often.
Should have listened. Yeah.
Once is too often.
Zero is too often.
Okay. So that's it on the fun facts. So let's get right into it. This episode was all over the place. Not in a bad way, in my opinion. Yeah. This is a big episode for April. A lot of people cite this episode as they're like, this is when I start liking April. This is when April is redeemed. And I love that journey for them.
You know they had to, because I'm
never
sure...
never really have been a huge April fan, honestly. But I do see the appeal in this episode, but I just am like, yeah. Still not for me. Not someone I want to spend my time with.
I think I would. I think that she would be a little bit intense, but honestly, you and I are both intense people too. So true.
Just in a very different way. And that's
very different.
But I know myself and be like, I need not to be around the intense people on the other end of the spectrum because like they annoy me. And I annoy people too, and that's fine. Everybody isn't for everybody.
It's true.
People aren't one size fits all.
It's true. Unless they are. Unless you're Ryan Reynolds, universally beloved.
Probably true. But there might be people who don't like him, like the people that divorced him.
Well, no, they still liked him.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. He was married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, I forget that all the time.
And
there was someone else, I think, before her. But I could be wrong.
Also, can you just... I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but you told me... You kind of dropped a bomb on me before we started this episode.
Oh, I did. What did I say?
The Justin Timberlake thing.
Oh, yeah. Justin Timberlake was arrested like early this morning in the wee hours of the morning for DWI in New York. And he said that he only had one martini, but I just don't find that to be believable. I also am not a huge Justin Timberlake fan. I'll be honest. I like his music, like his most recent solo album, Man in the Woods. I actually really, really enjoyed that album. But as a person, I find him to be not great. I feel like he's a bit misogynistic, whether it be intentional or not. He had a lot of issues. Like, he had a huge part in the media, like, destroying Britney Spears, and he really leaned into it to save his own ass, and that really did not sit well with me. And also, during the pandemic, he was like, I can't believe I have to stay home with my kids 24/7. Like, people aren't meant to be with their own children all the time. And I was like, that's quite literally exactly what people are meant to do. We just kind of fucked it up by having capitalism, but okay.
Right. Right.
Also, Jessica Biel kind of went really hard anti-vax, which I did not love. So
she's going through some trauma because of him.
Yeah, probably. Anyways, so that
was
good
education. Yeah, I learned a lot. Learned a lot from that.
So good stuff. Anyways, okay. So let's just talk about the Owen and the trauma certification class, which is I like that they bring this back. This is part of what he got his $1 million grant for, was trauma certification, and so this is part of that, which I like that they kind of make that a full circle thing. They're like, look, we mentioned this and now we're actually following through with it. Yep. This is what he won the money for, blah blah blah, whatever. It's intense, which tracks because it's reminiscent of him stabbing all the pigs.
Right. Like the first day there. I forgot about all the pigs.
Like, this man does not fuck around when it comes to a skills lab. He's really going to go hard or go home. And he, you know, everyone's like, whatever, this is not going to be a big deal. And then he runs in. He's like, huge trauma, huge accident, all these incoming injuries. Everybody, come on, let's move. And they run outside. And it's like just the parking lot's just littered with medical dummies.
Also, I'm concerned that that was their only entryway for actual ambulance.
No. The ambulances were elsewhere.
Oh, okay.
Because April drives the ambulance around the ambulance.
That's right. That part was confusing to me a little bit. So thank you for helping that come full circle.
Yeah. So, yes, they do they're like split up into teams. Steve is back. Intern Steve makes his big comeback in this episode, handing out the index cards.
I could not remember his name. I thought it was Dan.
Close. It's Steve. So he is there handing out the index cards of like what the injuries are and what happens. And like, so they kind of are triaging people. And then he comes in and he's like, oh, bam, motherfucker. Also, their head fell off and stuff like that.
Bet you didn't see that one coming.
Casual extra injuries like that. So, it's an interesting, I love the choice to make it rain and they're all just out there in the pouring rain, still doing it. Like, they're just like, fuck my life.
I hate being caught out in the rain.
Yeah. It's
don't like wet clothes. Don't like wet shoes. Yeah, don't like wet socks.
Wet shoes and wet socks are the worst for me. That's part of why I never go on water rides at Disney. Like, I despise them. I'm like, I don't care how hot it is. I'll be cooled down for a moment and then I'll be uncomfortable for several hours.
Just go to a missing fan, you know?
Not for me. Just find that AC, man. It's everywhere.
Yeah. Just go shop and, again, just contribute to capitalism.
Exactly. What were your thoughts on the trauma certification class?
Well, I'm kind of annoyed that Meredith is like, because Christina needed help, Owen's like, yeah, you win. You're good. Go. You know trauma. I didn't like that.
Yeah, also, I didn't like that he was like, you're certified. I feel like he could have just been like, hey, you can be excused from this part of the drill and we'll like come back to you later.
Right, right. That would have been, I think, a better use of time and treasured funds. The $1 million.
Well, also, here's also the thing is like, this is just another instance of Owen not understanding Meredith and Christina's relationship because he has like no idea that they're not okay. Where right. Derek
I
seems
also
to
didn't,
know.
For the record, I didn't know that they were not okay either.
Well, the last time we saw them was like that interview for the mockumentary where Meredith is like, Christina's my hero. And Christina's like, fucking shut up.
I do remember that, but I didn't think anything of it, honestly.
Well, because then we see Christina again by herself.
Yeah. I liked he really leaned into the chaos. And I like that eventually when they start to realize that Hunt is just changing the rules, it's very similar to in Star Trek, ironically enough, if we're talking about William Shatner, when they're in the battle against the Klingons and Captain Kirk has to change the rules of the game, but he changes the rules so it's fair to both teams as opposed to an easy victory. So he cheats for the benefit of the game. And I think April also does that. I think she bends the rules and cheats to the benefit of the game. Mm-hmm. But it also gave me a lot of throwback feelings to that episode where we did have the actual helicopter and it was like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then the person died and then it showed up. So yeah, I really liked
that. That was Private Practice, wasn't it?
Was it? No, it was. Was it Private Practice? It was Owen in his trauma where the caravan is blown up.
Specific. Yep. Sorry. I was thinking about that episode of Private Practice where they.
Yeah. The sad
Addison
one.
Delivers that baby. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I enjoyed that kind of like callback moment. It involves a helicopter. Mm-hmm. I like that Alex and April are the ones who stick to the end. And yeah, this was for sure. But you guys have heard me. I've started to enjoy April the last couple of
episodes. They definitely make it like an arc where it's not like, oh, man, she's super fucking annoying last episode. And right now you're like, wow, she's amazing. Like, it's definitely a visible arc through at least through these first 7 episodes of this season. Especially because in that shooting episode, you were ready to yeet her off of a roof.
It's true.
So she's made a pretty big correction since then.
Well, I've also been ready to yeet Alex off the roof a couple times. I feel like I don't like middle ground any characters. I either love them or hate them. I'll yeet Weber this episode. He's being
he was so fucking annoying in this episode. Man, honestly, like, this episode in general, not a lot of middle ground for people. Everyone was either doing really great or being just the fucking worst versions of themselves.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I didn't really even have issues with Derek in this episode, which we know that's a big deal. So as far as I was about to go off on another tangent, but we'll get to it when we get to it. But as far as the trauma certification just continues. Obviously, it's pouring rain. It's getting worse and worse. April's like being more and more aggressive. People are like, all of their patients are dying, but Owen won't let them go inside. He's like, take a knee and watch.
Take a knee.
They're like, he's gonna fucking scalp all of us. Like, what is happening?
I've never seen Apocalypse Now, by the way.
Same.
Yeah.
It escalates. Jackson just is like, fuck this. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be an example, whatever. So he just leaves. And then April is like, oh, all my patients are except for 2 are dead. Great. Now I'll use the ambulance. And Owen's like, no, you can't choose. I can make up shit too, bitch.
Yeah.
Fucking fight me. I'll run you over with this ambulance.
I like that part where he goes, hey, Steve, give her a card. And she's like, no. I don't need that card because I know exactly what it's going to say and I already treated it. You can go fuck off, Steve, if that even is your real name, dude.
He's like, what do I do?
And when she goes and tells Alex, all right, grab the feet. And he goes, does he go for Hunt's feet or does he go for Steve's feet? He doesn't go for the patient. He goes to like tackle someone and she's like, Alex, you moron, grab the patient. The ambulance is here. And the way Alex got so excited, he's like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah, he's funny. So they throw the patients in the ambulance and she goes to turn the ambulance on and Owen's like, no, this ambulance was in the accident. And she goes, oh, so interesting. Let's see if it starts. I guess I've got fucking AAA. And
then
She just drives it around to the ambulance bay and she's like unloading the people. And Alex is like, she will not stop until you tell her that she has won. And Owen says, this is not a contest. And April's fully ready to like outfit an OR and cut into these medical dummies. And so Owen says, you win. And so she gets all excited. She's like, we won. Woohoo.
When she jumped on Alex in that scene, I really thought they were going to kiss.
Yeah, well, it's a rainy moment. It's very Nicholas Sparks, like, let's jump on each other in the rain moment.
Yeah, yeah, with Alex, his partial trash bag.
Yeah, and then, that was the trauma exercise for April. That's kind of her big look at who I am now moment. And then Later on, Hunt goes to find Jackson. And he says, Jackson says, I don't need a lesson in how trauma is unfair because, like, two of my friends died. And Owen's response is, well, so I lost so many friends when I was, you know, working overseas in the military, and I would never use them as an excuse to quit. And I think I definitely understand where Owen's coming from, but I also think that Jackson is reading the situation wrong, because it's one thing to say trauma isn't fair. That I don't think that's the lesson that Owen is trying to teach. The lesson Owen is trying to teach is trauma just is going to keep happening, and you have to always be prepared and always looking ahead. If he was saying, ha ha, trauma's unfair, then yeah, that would be like, that's a bad, that's not, no, that doesn't benefit anybody. Like, they all lived through a trauma, so yes, they do know. But because Jackson takes it that way, then yeah, I think he's right to get mad. However, he's also not taking it correctly. It is a good learning opportunity, and it is hopefully a way to prevent more things like what we saw in the season 6 finale from happening again. So it's really, I don't think that, I was just like trying to kind of figure out, I was like, okay, Jackson isn't, he's not stupid. And I don't think it's fair to be like, oh, he's a quitter and he's just using them as an excuse. I think his anger was correct because he was misunderstanding the situation. Like, once Owen goes to him and says, like, you can't use them as an excuse to quit, you have to figure out how to be a doctor no matter what, like, even in the midst of trauma, even in the midst of all this crazy things that could and have happened. So then I kind of think it grounds Jackson in like what the actual purpose of the exercise was.
Yeah. It all this as well, after a swift push into an on-call room or something like
that. Oh, yeah, that was a bit aggressive.
Yeah. I was like, oh, no, he's going to choke him. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
This is how Avery dies, and Hunt leaves the show. Yeah, no, overall, I don't really have anything to add to that. I think you really summed kind of my thoughts up, too. It's great to see, because Owen does teach him. He does redirect him.
Yeah.
And I was nervous for a second that this is how we lose Avery. And this is how Jackson leaves the show. But not yet.
So. Yeah.
I don't think I have any other thoughts. I think that was, you brought it home really, really good there.
Thanks so much.
But overall, I think we could put the period on it of saying, oh, April just owned Hunt and said, whatever the song is. What was the song? Fuck you, Owen. Shut the fuck up, Owen.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Owen Hunt.
Yeah, that was good.
Real quick before we take our break, we'll just cut to them at the bar celebrating and Alex being like, wow, April, that was amazing. And April being like, oh, my God. Ooh, a man is looking at me. I'm in love.
You should take my virginity right now, Alex.
Yeah, that's not. It's like the slightest bit of attention turns her into this kind of person, and it's not my favorite.
Yes. Correct. And that's,
it's very, it's just like a more immature way. And I understand, because she's been hyper focused on her learning and her career, and she hasn't really ever focused on the relationship side. It tracks that she would still kind of react with that like teenage giddiness at that kind of attention. But it bums me out, because I'm like, she's very smart and capable. And I'm like, the attention of a boy should not crumble you so much.
I think we could even add on to that in this episode. The attention and approval of a significant other in any circumstance.
Yes.
At the detriment of your own happiness is never good. Ever.
Yeah. Which we'll get into that.
Oh, boy.
But first, a word from our regional sponsors.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
And we're back.
We're back.
Here we
go. Did you know that there's a new study by a mechanics journal that says that time is actually potentially an illusion? Did you know that?
Are you going to make a joke?
No, I saw it. It's by Popular Mechanics. It was released on June 17th by Caroline Delbert. The first sentence is, could the observable universe be exclusively composed of layered, mutually entangled systems? The passage of time puzzles quantum physicists mm-hmm. who seek to fit into a cohesive model. Interesting.
Delightful.
Going to have that light read on my list for later.
Okay, so where would you like to go next?
I feel like if we're going to go to that end scene with the bar, we might as well go to the butt lift lady.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that also transitions into Cali, Arizona a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, love Lexi and Mark working together with no issues.
Yeah, well, only slight sass in that one scene, which is very funny.
That's fine. There's no sass. Everybody's okay. Great.
Oh.
But no issues, like, beyond, like, honestly, there probably would be sass even if they had not ever slept together. This is just so far beyond where her being like, don't ever fucking talk to me ever again in my whole life, you piece of shit.
Yeah, it is. It is the opposite of that. It's we've crossed that bridge. That's a good call out.
Yeah. So I like that. So we have their patient is coming in for a gluteoplasty, I believe is the term. Let me make sure that's correct. Not to be confused with a butt lift. A butt implant. Very different. Christine is her name. She is 28. Gluteoplasty. She did not like her butt, and so she wants more butt. Lexi has concerns that she's just getting a bigger butt to, like, impress a boyfriend or husband or partner or whatever it may be. And she expresses those to Mark, and Mark kind of brushes her off and then expresses them again. And Mark's like, fine, you can talk to the patient, which I do appreciate the teaching aspect of that, because Mark's pretty clear in episodes before this about making sure someone is doing a cosmetic surgery for the right reasons. And even then, like, when he has his conversations later with Callie, where he's like, I do a lot of boob jobs, but I also do a lot of, like, reversals of boob jobs, explants, because women think they're doing it because they want it, but ultimately they're doing it for somebody else, which is not a good reason to alter your body or your insides.
Correct.
Your personality. Correct. So he's like, people, you know, they think they want this and then they live with it and they have all these regrets. But he does not doubt that Christy is doing this for her. So, but because Lexi has these concerns, he's like, okay, why don't you talk to the patient? And the patient gives her such a good speech about how Lexi has a great booty.
Yeah. I think I need you to read that. It's one of the best speeches I've ever heard.
Okay. And she says, Dr. Gray, I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Even through your lab coat, I can tell you have an amazing ass. And with an ass like that, I bet you know what it's like to find the perfect pair of jeans. Jeans that make you feel like you're the sexiest person to ever put on a pair of pants. And I envy that because I never have. Every pair hangs off me unless I shop in the boys department. And I have tried gaining weight, Dr. Gray. Turns out I'm a person whose fat goes straight to my upper arms and my boobs, which makes it really hard for me to wear sundresses, which is all I can wear because jeans don't fit. So, Dr. Gray, I am getting a big, juicy, easy-to-grab-onto ass, and you better believe I am doing it just for me. And I am telling you, I can't wait. And then Lexi goes, you are so nice.
Yeah, Mark's a smile. And then, yeah, she ends with that. You're so nice. It's a sweet, sweet moment. This is the best, one of the best non-essential or non- Yeah, non-essential plastic surgeries that I think we've seen on the show. I've really liked that. This is a good story. The scene when he's like, okay, this is your booty. And she's like, I would like it bigger, please. And then he's like, okay. And she's, more. And she goes full on Kylo Ren in Star Wars Episode 8. And trying to absolutely obliterate Luke Skywalker ends with the just largest rumpus I have seen on a TV show today.
17 peach emojis.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is a lot of junk in the trunk. That is such a big donk a donk that my phone auto-corrected that to done a done. So my wouldn't you let me write donk?
Don't want none of as you got buns, huh? Mm. Can you believe we were all just like 12 walking around singing that entire song? Like we all just knew it.
Yeah. Well, it's hard being me too, because even white boys got to shout Baby Got Back. Mm. You know?
They do got to shout.
And I do shout. I shouteth from the rooftops. So this story is cute because there's one scene that we get where they're working together. And I think that's the breaking point where Mark is like, all right, listen, if you have this much concern, you can go talk to her yourself. It's the rant scene that she has. Do you have that text pulled up? I want to share this one here.
My anaconda. Sorry, that's going to be stuck in everybody's head now. Good luck getting that out. Well, I thought I had it, but...
You're doing great.
Fill for time.
Oh, well, I could tell you guys about the color consistency of my mucus.
Ew, why don't you talk about your gummy worms?
Well, I ate them all. I ate a whole package of gummy worms. They're gone. I am doing a custom guitar artwork on my guitar. I don't know if I showed that to you, but that's very exciting.
Okay, here we go. Okay. I got it.
And you did show it to me. And now no one cares about me.
So true. Oh. Okay, and so Lexi says, I am not an errand girl, okay? I am a doctor with a patient who's about to make a giant butt-shaped mistake. Hilarious. Mark says, that's not for you to say. And Lexi says, well, someone has to. The only reason a woman does something like this to her body is to impress a guy. Sure. Starts with a giant butt, and then the next thing you know, she's giving up her friends, she's moving in with him before she's even ready, and if she's not careful, she'll find herself a 26-year-old stepmother to the pregnant daughter she didn't even know he had. And then she's single, dyeing her hair a new color, and you know what? It is really hard to manage your roots when you've been committed to the psych ward. And Mark goes, psych ward? And Lexi goes, it happens.
It's so funny. And then we get the scene at the bar where he's clearly very, very just clearly leering.
Really just looking right at the booty.
And she comes over and says, you will not do this and objectify me. No. And he's like, well, it wasn't the first time. Won't be the last time. And she walks away and they both.
No. Yeah. But they.
She gives mutual understanding. Smile. Yeah.
She gives them a. She's sending some mixed signals with that. No.
I'm concerned that they're never going to get back together because I really want them to.
Why are you concerned about it?
I don't know. I don't know. Sloane is still out there somewhere, you know? She can get pregnant again.
It's true.
Maybe the second that Lexi and Mark get back together, Sloane comes in for the second time.
Mm-hmm. Pregnant again.
Oh, yeah. Twins.
Why would she come back? Because it went so well for her the first time.
Yeah. How else are they going to bring Addison back into the show?
Such a good question.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Callie in Arizona then.
Because
there's some feelings, and it is from the first scene we get the three of them together. It is
Callie's different. Grumpy.
Callie is not having it.
Callie's not having not a great Callie episode. Hard to be on her side.
It's not, you know, a simple conversation prior to the airport maybe should have happened.
Mm-hmm. Also, I had mentioned this in our Carmen Free Discord channel. There's some conversation around this happening because I was like, because when Arizona accepts this grant, there is a timeline on it. It is not I'm moving to Africa for all of eternity. It is I am moving to Africa for 3 years. I feel when you know there is an end in sight, long distance is more feasible. It was argued to me that in this time of 2010, technology is not where it is right now. So it is going to be maybe a little more difficult to keep in touch, obviously, with like the crazy time difference. And also the personality situations, like how Callie, someone, I think it may have been Janisha, someone made the point of like, as soon as Arizona misses a phone call, Callie's going to lose her fucking mind and be like, how dare you not blah, blah, love me, blah, blah, blah.
Fair,
blah, stuff.
Fair assessment. Yeah.
And so there was just some conversation about it. It's like, yes, maybe it could have been doable, but also it may have been a little too much. They do have, you know, very demanding schedules that would also make it very difficult to, it was Zoe who said that. And Marianne also was making points about not as easy to do long distance, maybe in this specific context of like what the technology was and their schedules and the time difference and like how expensive it would be and how long the travel days are. You know, it's not a train ride away or just a, you know, couple hours on an airplane. It's like a full day on an airplane and God knows how much else. So I do feel that both of these points are valid. I just also was like, if you really wanted to, I still think you could do it. I did long distance multiple times. It didn't work, but not because of technology, mainly because I shouldn't have been dating those people. You did long distance and it did work. So, you know, everybody has different journeys. And you were doing long distance in this time frame.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, to your point, though, it was very different from Chicago to Orlando or Chicago to the college that was a drive away, a 3.5-4 hour drive away, 18 hours on a flight. And that includes the flight time to get to the airport, getting the time off of work. You don't want to go to, like, I could go to see Jess in her college for a day and come back. Yeah. I couldn't fly 18 hours to go to Africa and then be like, all right, this is great, but I got to hit the road.
Yeah. I got to get back. Like if you're traveling for that long, you want it to be worth it. But again, it's hard, like when you have really demanding jobs, like who knows what the time off looks like. And obviously Callie, we know, does have money. And so, you know, if even factoring that in, it probably would be easy for her, but there's just so much other stuff to consider. I definitely see both sides. I do feel like it would be feasible if everyone could just like get their heads out of their asses and like sit down and have a real conversation about it and like what they want and like long-term goals and what the expectations are.
I honestly do think I'm more on Arizona's side.
Absolutely. I'm also more on Arizona's side. I also think it's wildly unreasonable that in the last episode, Callie was like, she should have just not gone.
And then
She
went from she should have not gone to actually it was an easy decision. I'm going with her to actually I'm staying because Weber said one comment to me in passing because he's a manipulative turd. But
she was already mad before he said that. He was just like fueling the fire.
Yeah. To Arizona's point,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say to Arizona's point with when you get this grant, if we're supposed to believe that it is what it is, the way they're describing it, you would resent having to pull yourself away.
Yeah.
From what you're doing to tend to the relationship if Callie was there 24/7.
Yeah.
You gotta kind of like, I don't know. I think Yeah, you gotta take a break like Ross and Rachel and revisit in 3 years and say, let's see. We're not gonna wait, but we'll see where we're at.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think that maybe even like letting Arizona get over there and getting settled and then kind of see like how it the reality of working and what it's looking like, you know, what her demands are over there. And it's just like so many other things. Like, it just factors back to no clear communication. And that's not an Arizona. She is trying so hard to get Callie to talk to her and be like, would you like to talk about how you're feeling? Like, what's going on? You know, isn't it great that all my kids made this? And Callie's like, no, it's fucking stupid. You should be stealing medical supplies like me. What is happening? Like, what is happening? Yeah. So, was not on Callie's side for basically the entire episode. It's as though she she's like, well, I love her, so I have no other option. And I'm like, that's factually incorrect. Also, I'm sorry. The reality of the world is people can love each other and not stay together. Like, sometimes that's not enough to make a relationship work. Sometimes there's just
love
other shit.
Love is not always enough.
It's simply not. And I'm so sorry if that is a bummer to people, but it is the reality of the world. Watch La La Land. So
spoilers.
I just think that I'm like, again, no effort. It was 0 to 100 for Callie. And I wonder if, you know, what the conversation was for her to decide to go with Arizona, if that was something Arizona even wanted. If Callie was like, I'll just go with you. Like, Arizona might be like, okay, that's psychotic, but okay.
I don't think I would have wanted Jess to go with me if we weren't married. Just, that's different.
It's just like, again, to your point of like wanting to be able to pour 100% into the work you're doing because of the grant you've received. That's this huge, prestigious, amazing opportunity. And so, yeah, like having your partner there in a way might make it easier because you're not worried about focusing on like the long distance aspect, but also like they're still going to have expectations of like being in a relationship and like, what does that look like? And what does your work there look like? So again, it's just one of those things. I'm like, how did we get here? This feels irresponsible in a way.
Yeah. And the last thing I will say as an agreeing factor to your point is, as someone who has gone through long distance for a long period of time, the hardest part is not knowing the end date. Like, I think I can remember there was a point where Jessica and I were living our lives separately and together at the same time. And then there was this part of like, okay, we've been together for a couple years now. We need to figure out what we're doing. And it was, okay, either you move here or I move home, but this is the end date. And we came up with the end date first, and then the solution was what came after. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's my 2.5 cents. But I'm glad that they broke up, and I hope they stay broken up until maybe they bring Arizona back 3 years from now, 3 seasons from now, and they say, hi, I'm back. I'd love to do it again. Let's do this. But at the end of the day too, they were very different people. They wanted very different things. Callie wanted kids. Arizona, in the middle of a trauma, had said, I'll do this for you.
Right.
It all felt a little icky, and it all felt like communication would have just been nice.
So another point that was made in the Discord conversation between Zoe and Marianne was like, well, Callie was ready to give up having kids. Like, she was ready to drop her dream. So maybe in her mind, she now thinks that Arizona should drop her dream. And I'm like, but maybe no one should drop their dreams at all. Maybe people can just have their dreams with like someone who is more suited for them.
Yeah. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
Indeed.
Quoteth the immortal Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. So yeah, what were your thoughts on the airport scene specifically?
It felt like the bad ending to Friends, the opposite ending of Friends, the ending that we should have all gotten with Friends, where Rachel leaves and never comes back. And she goes. So when Arizona's sitting, when Callie's like, we need to talk about this on the plane, and Arizona's like, Callie says, we can't be done. And Arizona's like, we're yelling at each other in the middle of an airport with strangers walking by us. We're already done.
Yeah.
And even that scene where they're at the party and Callie is
worst in this episode.
I'm actually on Callie's side.
Don't say it out loud.
Totally. You're right. I agree. And then Weber's like, oh man, well, they're so busy because we're losing 2 attendings. It's so crazy.
The job of the chief,
the bird and the cross I bear. And
heavy
when
is
like,
the head that wears the chief's scrub cap.
so funny. And the way he's just sitting there eating that fucking cupcake. I'm like,
I'm like, I need to go to Publix and get some cupcakes right now.
I know.
From watching this episode.
So when I'm sick, I crave sweets. Like the first like 48 hours, all I want to do is sweets. And I'm like, I need crumble. I don't know what it is, but I need it.
Yeah, I'm not that impressed with their lineup this week, I'll be honest.
Let me look at it live on air.
Please do, because I look at it again. I've told you this before. Every single Monday, I look at the crumble lineup. There's like, I think there were one or two that I was like, I can maybe give this a try. But for the most part, I was underwhelmed. I don't need a crumble chocolate chip cookie. I don't think they're that impressive. Like, they're fine.
Jewel
but I don't
Osco,
need to buy it.
Jewel Osco chocolate chip cookies in the purple bag are superior. And anyone who's in the Midwest knows the true goat.
Michael's mom also makes very good chocolate chip cookies, so.
All right, cookie flavors of the week. So milk chocolate. Oh, there's an Oreo
yeah,
sandwich
I would try that
cookie.
One.
Yeah.
But I worry about the ratio on that. I don't feel like when people make those whoopie pie type cookies that they ever get the ratio right.
Yeah, and then there's a strawberry crumble cake. That looks pretty good. Eh. The vanilla bean cupcake. I like vanilla bean. The cake batter blondie.
I would try that one.
The hazelnut cake sea salt. That actually sounds
pretty good. That one also sounds really good.
Yeah, the key lime pie one so far was the goat. Although that French toast one slapped.
French toast one was great. Fry bread is great. The Biscoff one where it's like filled with cookie butter.
Yes.
I get a dozen of those.
If only it was the crunchy Biscoff butter. Have you had that crunchy Biscoff butter?
Yeah, that's also very good.
So good. All right. Anyways, so with back to Grace, we could talk about food and sweets all the time. I think I like that Arizona finally is honest and she's like, it's the freaking, what is it? Madison Grant?
Madison, Carter Madison.
Carter Madison Grant. I should not be feeling this way.
Yeah,
and it's
like
a bummer too.
You're ruining it for me.
It is a bummer too because we just had that scene with Mark and Callie and they go from that. You're thinking, oh, Kelly's got it figured out. And then Arizona obviously doesn't see that scene as the audience member. And she's like, you are being so condescending, you stupid a-hole. And they break up. And, you know, I'm happy they're over. But I still love Mark and Callie's friendship. And I'm looking forward to how she bounces out of it with his help.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, last episode you said that you thought maybe this was just how they got written off the show. So.
Well, Arizona clearly is getting written off the show now.
Okay.
Can we confirm? Is this a series wrap on Arizona?
I cannot confirm that.
Oh, okay. Series wrap on Mark?
Series wrap on Meredith Grey. Series wrap on Mary Portman.
No. Series wrap on Mandy Moore.
Yeah, it is. So that's Mary Portman.
Oh. I didn't realize that was her name. My bad.
Anyways,
I'm an idiot.
We'll get there. So, anything else you want to add with the Callie? So, yeah, Weber's really pissing me off in this episode. He's like, oh, I had big plans. And then Callie's like, what big plans? And he goes, oh, I can't just tell you my plans. You just throw away your relationship to see my plans.
Which is exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
The scene in the beginning when they're leaving the home and Arizona's trying to give Mark the waffle maker
Everything
and the French press. Yeah. And
the slap chop.
Yeah. Which we have the slap chop. It is a great utensil. But when Callie, they cut back to her, she goes, I've got plans. I've got big African plans. And Mark is like, yeah, you fucking do. And she's like, I want to build bones from dirt and blood diamonds. And Mark is like, one of those may be frowned upon in the medical community.
Yeah, no, she also said she was going to build joints from elephant ivory.
That's right. That's
right. Like, that's probably frowned upon by literally everyone in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone. It's too funny. And then the way that Mark is going about trying to get these cupcakes definitely feels a little misogynistic.
Oh, for sure.
It's he goes to Bailey first. He's like, hey, what do you think about cupcakes and this party? Could you get them? And Bailey's like, should I just bake them myself for you, you dickhead?
Yeah.
And then when the scene when Lexi comes up and she goes, I am concerned about this lady's butt. And Mark goes, I totally
But
hear
what
you.
About cupcakes?
Yeah, have you ever heard of this cool new thing called cupcakes? Let me tell you about it.
And then he's like mad that she just gets them at the grocery store. Grocery store cupcakes can be good, Mark.
Yeah. Publix.
Anyways, so yeah, the chief. He's pissing me off in this episode, eating his cupcake in slow motion. No one came. Although, here's the thing. If Mark is in charge of this party, is that maybe why no one came? Like, did he just do a bad job telling everybody?
Or did Weber go behind everyone and say, whatever Mark said, do not go to this party?
Well, see, that would be a bad move because having everyone there, I feel like, would make it harder for Callie to leave.
Ah, yes, good thought.
Which
good.
That's not doesn't mean that Weber didn't do it, because he can be pretty stupid. So maybe he did tell everyone not to go to make her feel bad.
We should have had Adele there.
Ugh, good times with Adele. Anything else you want to add on the Cali and Arizona story before we shift to the next one?
I thought it was so funny when Weber was talking to them, and every time he'd be like, yeah, we're down to attendings. Mm-hmm. These are chief problems, and I don't want to burden you with chief problems, but
so difficult.
Yeah, we had a lot of big plans for you, Torres. Lots of big plans.
A lot of plans. Can't tell you what the plans are, but a lot of plans. So sad about the plans. Yeah.
I feel like this was very much like a thing that Trump said. We had the biggest plans for you, Dr. Torres. Tell you.
Every orc gets a Balrog. Gonna build the tallest tower. Gonna build a black tower. Every orc gets a Balrog. I do that. Michael and I do that all the time.
And let me just tell you, I call him Little King Tomato.
It's not even real king. Fake king.
Oh, I love that. We need to move to California and be on those shows.
I love Dropout. I love it. I love everything they do. Okay. Well, I think that's it on this. So we'll take a wee breaksy, and we'll pick up in our next episode with everyone's favorite segment.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.